Hello, we're here today to talk about Margaret Egan. Jesse Shira, a prominent American librarian and information scientist, remarked of this communication scholar in his author that hers was one of the truly great minds of American librarianship. Shira goes on to say, social epistemology, both the term and the concept, were hers, but because I have given it wide currency, despite frequent disclaimers, it has generally been attributed to me. Here with us to bring to light Egan's contribution to the field of LIS and her impact on Shira's work are Professor Joanna Berner, scholar of the history and philosophy of cultural stewardship at UCLA, philosopher-sociologist Steph Muller, professor in social epistemology at the University of Warwick, and Bree Wayward, librarian and scholar, biographer and professor emeritus of the Faculty of Information Sciences at the University of New South Wales. To get us started, Joanna Berner, can you give us some idea of who Margaret Egan was?
Of course. Egan was a real powerhouse of librarianship in the 1940s and 50s. Lately, she's reemerged in academia, as scholars are exploring the ways in which she's gone unnoticed for her work in the creation of social epistemology. But during her life, she did have a long and impressive resume. She began by completing her BA in sociology from the University of Cincinnati in 1930, but then she spent 7 years as a reader's advisor in the Cincinnati Public Library. She did her graduate work at Yale, studying government and political science, before attending a doctoral program at the Graduate Library School of Chicago. After her studies, she became a professor and instructor with the academic community, teaching at the University of Chicago, the Graduate Library School, and most notably, the School of Library Science at Western Reserve University in Cleveland, Ohio. A little side trivia, Western Reserve is now called Case Western University. Outside of academia, she served as an editor for Librarian Quarterly, as well as the president of the Illinois Chapter of Special Libraries Association, but her real claim to fame was in the numerous papers she authored, specifically Foundations of a Theory of Bibliography, which she co-wrote with Jesse Shira in 1952. That paper in particular is key to the development of social epistemology. It deals primarily with bibliography and its use in libraries, but it contains the first documented use of the term social epistemology. I won't get into the meaning of the actual term here, but it is important to note that social epistemology would later transcend library science and become a bit of a phenomena across various fields of academic study. Sadly, Egan died in 1959 at the age of 53, but many of her ideas were carried forward by her colleague and writing partner, Jesse Shira.
Joanna Berner highlighted Egan's contribution to the introduction of the term social epistemology. Steph Muller, could you elaborate on the term social epistemology?
Well, to answer that, I believe we first need to answer, what is epistemology? Epistemology is, in essence, the theory or study of knowledge itself. In the philosophical discourse of the English-speaking world, epistemology has long been aligned with an individual's relationship with knowledge, epistemology being understood as the philosophy of the mind.
Could you explain what you mean by philosophy of the mind? Is it not a separate branch of study in philosophy?
Well, philosophy of mind in the sense of the beliefs and perceptions of the individual and how they get knowledge from those internal beliefs and perceptions, as opposed to society as a whole. With social epistemology, a term pioneered by Egan and Shira, but then independently returned by philosophers such as Alvin Goldman, Frederick F. Schmidt, and Steve Fuller in the 1980s, philosophers seek to understand the social relations and institutions which factor into the development and disbursement of knowledge, going beyond the individual to consider the relevance of larger social systems and institutions to epistemology. They seek to answer the question posed by Steve Fuller, how should the pursuit of knowledge be organized? Both Fuller and Shira consider present systems for the circulation of knowledge to be imperfect and seeks to explicate the nature of intellectual process in society in a way which allows for its improvement.
So we seem to be going a little bit off track. Could we return to Egan? Joanna Berner, could you speak a little more about the evidence that it was Egan who introduced the concept of social epistemology?
Well, it gets a little complicated. What we know for sure is that despite Foundations of the Theory of Bibliography being written by both Egan and Shira, Shira is usually cited as the sole author. Ferner, who's a prominent scholar in the field, even shows that Shira himself forgot to credit Egan in his citations. But as you said in the introduction, Shira paradoxically attributes the concept and term social epistemology to Egan in the Dictionary of American Library Biography. So we can see that there are certain discrepancies about social epistemology, especially on the part of Shira. Is Shira just lazy with his citations, or is there something else going on here? It's difficult to say. Regardless, it's clear that Egan's part in the creation of social epistemology is complicated and has been typically overlooked.
Joanna Berner and Steph Muller mentioned Shira. How does he feature in the narrative social epistemology, Bree Wayward? Has Egan been rightfully credited for her contribution?
Well, I guess that depends on who's answering the question, but While Scherer has been attributed credit to the term social epistemology, the small number of formal citations to Egan's work does not rightfully credit her work in the LIS discipline. The influence of her ideas, largely through Scherer's mediation, amassed both in quantitative and qualitative terms. In my opinion, her work in information science warrants further attention. Egan was also an expert on the history of the development of the behavioral sciences, and her expertise was reflected in correspondence. For instance, the influence of pragmatists, philosophers like Parsons, structural functionalism, von Neumann, and Simon on Scherer's work is no doubt mediated by Egan's interpretation of those writers. In reviewing Egan's legacy, you'll find that the few papers that she authored and published reveals her as a central player in the popularization amongst North American library scientists of the motives, concerns, and research results of the European documentation movement. Her personal papers, which are now kept by Case Western's university archives, reveals how Scherer built his reputation as a correspondent of remarkable wit, honesty, and energy. Yet one may also notice how few references to Egan appear in these papers. For instance, in the oral interview of 1968 and 1970, Scherer invariably introduced Egan as my old friend and former associate. But throughout his professional life, not a single one of his thousands of letters sent to and received from Egan is addressed to or signed by her. While Scherer articulated her ideas, he too admitted being conscious of this injustice. Deriving from Scherer's own statements, Egan deserves rather more credit than she has historically received. So in this regard, she is definitely a pioneering woman of LIS.
Bree Wayward, how can we reevaluate Egan's contributions to the field of LIS? What are the areas of LIS where you think she deserves more credit?
You know, like what was said earlier, Egan's theoretical foundations of LIS are rooted in social epistemology. She made three distinctive major contributions to the field. First, she explicitly identified the ultimate goal to library service from informed social action and established the extent to which bibliographic services contribute to this end as the primary criterion by which they may be evaluated. Second, she credited the theoretical framework for the study of information-seeking behavior, knowledge organization, and bibliometrics, which set the scene for the subsequent treatment of that framework as a theoretical foundation of LIS. Lastly, in what appears to be the first use in published literature, she coined the term social epistemology, 35 years before philosophers such as Goldman and Fuller, who rediscovered the term independently. Scholars who are familiar with Scherer's work will notice that several ideas is a conspicuous element of the intellectual legacy that is more usually attributed to Scherer than to Egan. In his entry on Egan for the Dictionary of American Library Biography, Scherer credits Egan for the idea that underlay their jointly authored biography. As we discussed earlier, he explicitly stated, "Social epistemology, both the term and the concept, were hers, but because I was given it wide courtesy, despite frequent disclaimers, it has been generally attributed to me." You know, yet in hindsight, it seems that sometimes he did and sometimes he did not credit Egan for her origination of social epistemology. The speculation over missing archives to their correspondence may also add to the uncertainty of how Scherer felt towards Egan's work.
I believe we have established Margaret Egan's role in the creation of social epistemology. Do you feel that social epistemology has contemporary implications on the field of LIS? Everyone feel free to comment. Steph Muller, why don't you start first?
Social epistemology asks us to consider the implication of libraries' displacement as the locus of universal knowledge. The library's position as a center of knowledge challenged both materially and philosophically as modes of knowledge development and disbursement change.
Yes, and working in the 1950s, Egan and Scherer had many of the same concerns as contemporary LIS thinkers about the effect of technological change on libraries and librarians. Expressing concerns about librarians merely facilitating user searches rather than actively engaging with knowledge and its organization. Near the end of his life in the 1980s, Scherer warned against abandoning the connoisseurship roles of the librarian, suggesting that focusing exclusively on technology-centered skill sets would negatively impact the profession in the long term.
Yeah. While the internet has increased access to knowledge at an incredible rate, Scheer and Egan's vision of a social epistemology creating a universal knowledge base, which makes maximum use of that which is already known, is still a relevant project and one which is very much a work in progress.
Thank you all very much for your contributions. Stay tuned. Next week, we will discuss the Carnegie and Free Library.